Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We got a lot to get into in today's show. We are going to spend a lot of time talking about another beatdown the Kansas City Chiefs just handed out. The most recent victim was the Washington Commanders. That game was close for about, 20 minutes of it. The Chiefs just absolutely dominated the second half of that game, left the Commanders with absolutely no life, and move on to their game this coming Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. We got a lot of time to get you ready for the Buffalo game, but let's talk about last night's Monday Night Football game. We'll also talk about Shohei Ohtani, who was the most exciting thing that we have seen in sports since Tiger Woods. There is a lot to get into in today's show. We'll sprinkle in a little college football. We'll sprinkle in some fun. Really happy that you guys are here with us on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Before we dive deep into Monday Night Football, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. I need you guys listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you guys to tell one friend to check out the show. And most importantly, what I really need for you guys to do is I need you guys to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. If you're looking for a place to catch up with the baseball game later today, maybe have yourself a bite to eat, maybe grab yourself something cold to drink, then I would highly encourage you to check out our friends over at The Other Place. This is where I would like to begin the show today and what the Chiefs have accomplished over this homestand. The Chiefs came into this homestand at 2-3 and with what we all perceive to be a must-win game against the Detroit Lions. It felt like that was the swing game. Now, the Chiefs are better than the Raiders. The Chiefs are also better than the Commanders. But that Lions game felt like it was a massive swing game. We talked about this leading into it, that it felt like deja vu. It felt like almost the exact same situation that they were in when they had the home game against Buffalo. They were 1-2, Baltimore. They needed that game against Baltimore. They win that game against Baltimore. They lose on Monday Night Football, and you find yourself back in the exact same situation. So the Chiefs, they had this stretch of three home games. And I think we all knew that if you're trying to keep pace in the AFC West, if you're trying to keep pace in the conference, those are three games that you had to put in the wins columns. And much more than just simply winning those games, the Chiefs needed to look like themselves. The Chiefs had to find some momentum and play with a little bit of rhythm. Boy, did they do that. That game against the Detroit Lions, I think when we look back at this season, how they won, it felt like the offense was back. That being a massive turning point in this season that led you on a real tear the next couple of weeks. Let's start with the offense, and we'll get to the defense in a bit because I don't think that they should be overshadowed in the open at all. The Chiefs offense 100% feels like it's back. If you look at the last month and a half of games, they scored 37 points against Baltimore. They scored 28 points against Jacksonville. They've scored 30 against the Lions, 31 against the Raiders. And last night, they scored 28 points. And that's another game that the Chiefs very easily could have scored 30 points in. And once again, we saw them take their foot off the gas at the end. And that's perfectly fine because at no point in the second half were the Commanders ever in a position to give you any amount of trouble. And the Commanders were going to go on their merry way. We have seen over the space of this homestand, the Chiefs offense turn itself into a very elite unit and maybe the best offense in the National Football League. And maybe more importantly, we've seen their quarterback regain the form that all of us know and have come to expect. We can be honest that Mahomes at times in the early portion of the season didn't really look like himself. Whether it was in the Chargers game, the Philadelphia game, whatever game you want to point to, those first three, four games, the offense didn't feel how it was supposed to feel, and their quarterback didn't look how we expect him to play. He's the best quarterback in the league, so we were setting an incredibly high standard. He certainly has played like it the last 3 weeks, and in that process, he has become the odds-on favorite to win the NFL MVP. Now, obviously, things can happen, things can change over the course of the remainder of the season, but I don't really see how he loses that lead if the offense continues to do what they're doing. You're seeing an offense that can attack from so many different ways, versatility everywhere. This guy, this guy, this guy, the defense playing at a really high level. This is the Chiefs team that we all expected to see from the very beginning of the season. This feels like a team that wins 11, 12, 13 games this season. If that's the case, the Chiefs go on to win a very competitive division, a very competitive AFC. I don't really know how you take the MVP award away from him and give it to Daniel Jones or give it to Josh Allen or give it to any other player that you can potentially name. So I think number one during this homestand, in a series of gotta have them kind of games, the Chiefs not only won all three of those games, they convincingly won all of those games. Things can turn, but the Chiefs right now have a better score differential through the first eight games of the season than they had when they went 15-2 last year. The Chiefs were getting some fortunate wins last year. That's not what this team is doing. This team is going out and they're pummeling people. They have pummeled their opponent in their last four games at home. If you go back to the Baltimore game and the three games that we're talking about, the Chiefs have absolutely dominated their last four opponents at Arrowhead. The Chiefs didn't dominate a whole lot of opponents last year. They beat a lot of opponents last year. They didn't dominate those teams. That's what this team is doing. This team is knocking teams out or ground and pound, beating you into submission until the ref comes in and stops the fight. That is what has happened the last 2 weeks. The ref stopped the fight pretty early in that Raiders game. The ref stopped the fight in this Washington game, probably in the middle of the third quarter. When the Chiefs went up 21-7 and when Kelce got the touchdown and tied the record with Priest Holmes, I think we all knew that if you got to get up early, you could go ahead and turn this one off. And if anything big happens, you'll see it in the highlights because the game was over. The Chiefs had defeated the Washington Commanders and we were simply playing out the string in the final 15-20 minutes of that ball game. So that's the offensive side of things. And now the Chiefs have really dominated offensively over the course of this homestand. Now, let's talk about the defense. Their defense has been phenomenal the last 3 weeks. The Jaguars scored 31 points, 24 points if you want to count the pick six, completely understand it. So Jacksonville's offense scored 24 points against this defense 3 weeks ago. We were talking about Chris Jones and the level of disappointment and effort, energy, and all of those kind of things. They allowed 24 points on this homestand. I want to say that again. Jacksonville's offense scored 24 points back on October 6th against this defense. They just allowed 24 points over the last 3 weeks at home. The Lions, who I think have one of the five best offenses in the National Football League, got all the respect in the world for Jared Goff. Great wide receivers, great tight end, great wide receivers, great everything on offense. They scored 17 points against this offense. We spent all week talking about their running game and Sonic and Knuckles and David Montgomery, and they ran the ball for 98 yards against the Kansas City Chiefs. Fast forward to the Las Vegas Raiders. We're talking about one of the more dominant defensive performances in the history of Arrowhead. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about one of the most dominant performances from your defense in history is what we're talking about, is what they did to the Las Vegas Raiders. And then follow it up last night. Was there ever a time that you were really worried about Washington? It was much more about the Chiefs making mistakes early on. It was much more about the Kelce drop or a great interception made by Marshon Lattimore as the Chiefs were moving the ball. The Chiefs kind of did what they wanted to offensively in that one, and defensively, you just never really felt worried at all in the game. You look up the last 3 weeks and the last three games, they have given up 180 rush yards. Not in one game, I'm talking about spread out over three games. The Raiders ran it for 25 yards, and Washington yesterday ran it for 60 yards on 20 carries. The Commanders were never beating the Chiefs if they were one-dimensional. They were never beating the Chiefs if they were going to tie in the turnover differential. There was not really a game formula, a game script in which the Commanders had a realistic chance of beating the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. I've mentioned this a lot over the last month, but what impresses me most about this Chiefs team is just their ability to put teams away. Last year's team, you would have felt like maybe left the door open a little bit longer than they should have, and maybe that game ended up being competitive in the fourth quarter. That is not the game script for this one. The Chiefs came out in the second half. They scored on those back-to-back touchdown drives. They made it 21-7. The Washington Commanders got one first down in their next three possessions, and the game was then over at that point. So right now, what you were seeing is a Chiefs offense that is playing as well as a Chiefs offense has played since 2022, and you can go all the way back to 2018 if you really want to, and you were talking about a defense that absolutely dominated teams. The Chiefs outscored their opponents 89-24 during this homestand. They held them to 183 rushing yards combined in those three games. They dominated the Commanders defensively. They dominated the Raiders defensively. And they did that exact same thing on the offensive side. I said this last week. I'll say it again. This is the best the Chiefs have played since the 2021 version of the Chiefs. I still maintain that's the best Chiefs team that we've seen during this entire run. They ran through the course of the regular season, and they just found themselves down too many guys on the offensive line. This team has a lot of the same characteristics, in my mind, of the 2021 Chiefs. Same kind of theme in the offseason about running it back, continuity. They got a lot of that on this team, and they are playing like it right now. And I love the position that they're in heading into Sunday's matchup against the Buffalo Bills. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Nate Taylor was just on the station. I want to play for him what he had to say about the running back situation. It looks like Isaiah Pacheco could miss some time with the knee injury. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I looked up this number because I wanted to share it with you guys. If you look at the run defense during this three-game homestand, the opposing team ran the ball 54 times for 183 yards. You guys might be wondering, what does that equal to? Well, that equals to 3.3 yards per carry is what it equals to. 3.39 yards per carry over these three games. Rob, let me bring you in here, and we'll talk about Andy Reid and his aggressiveness on fourth down. We'll also play for you guys what Nate Taylor had to say about the running back position. I don't think that right now the conversation is just about beating the Washington Commanders. They are a better team than the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are a team that I spent all summer telling you guys that the regression was coming. Now, they also haven't had their starting quarterback for three games this season, so obviously that plays a major effect on it, but that's a team that's going to win seven, maybe eight games. That is not a playoff team. They are not nearly in the caliber or tier of teams that we're talking about Kansas City. Neither are the Raiders. Now, the Lions were, and the Chiefs handled the Lions. To me, the conversation is much more about how the Chiefs responded. They were 2-3 at the beginning of this stretch. And I would say, backed up against the wall with a little bit of adversity, the Chiefs have absolutely responded. They have scored 89 points in their last three games. So they're averaging around 30 points per game. They gave up 24 points in their last 3 weeks. Teams couldn't run the football effectively against Kansas City. They were taking the football away from other teams. That's as dominant of a homestand that I can remember from the Kansas City Chiefs. They really strangled the life out of their last two opponents. Now, they let the Commanders hang around in the game far longer than they let the Raiders. But early on in the second half, it was like the Chiefs decided that we were done playing around, and they really, really just put the screws to the Commanders.
I mean, it was funny. I was in charge of our social media on Instagram and Twitter last night, and I posted at halftime on a 7-7. It's like the Chiefs listened to none of the things we've said on the show. It felt like they were not locked in. It felt like the momentum had kind of got away from them. It felt like they had given the Commanders a spark. And I don't know what was said at halftime. I don't know if there was another impassioned Creed Humphrey speech. I don't know if Andy Reid just said, guys, we're better than this. I don't know what happened at halftime. But the final 30 minutes of game time last night, the Chiefs did everything we asked them. They stopped playing with their food, and they just took advantage of a lesser Commanders team. That's what it looks like in the NFL when you're just, you can flex your muscle and be better than someone. It's not like college football where, you know, Missouri smokes Central Arkansas, and there's such a major talent disparity. It's 56-0 or 3 or whatever the final was. But when you are clearly superior to an opponent in the NFL, that's what it looks like. In the second half last night, they absolutely dominated the Commanders in every single facet. Me and you were joking before the show, like, the game's kind of boring because it's another dominant effort, but not as exciting domination, and the Bills are on the horizon. But it was very well done by the Chiefs in the second half of that game.
I want to play this audio for you guys. This is Nate Taylor. He was on with Cody and Gold just a little bit ago. Here he is talking about the Isaiah Pacheco injury. He has a knee injury. He suffered a hit, I mean, directly on his knee in the second half of the game. That honestly, I would say that the Chiefs and Pacheco are pretty fortunate. Like, we see that injury put guys out for a significant amount of time. He got up. He kind of hobbled around for a little bit. He was able to come back into the game. But I think once the adrenaline wears off, once the swelling really starts to kick in, it's going to be something that we have to manage all week. I'm not really sure if he's going to practice this week. I also think if he plays is in question heading into this game as well. Here's the latest with Nate Taylor of ESPN.
And so, you know, again, I'm not a doctor, ladies and gentlemen. But, of course, that involves, you know, adrenaline and wanting to go out there and finish the game. You know, I think Pacheco's actually started to find a rhythm.
The whole running game is finding a rhythm.
Correct. So it's a bit of a, you know, unfortunate situation where I don't think it's medically reasonable to put him out there against the Buffalo Bills, even though it's a very marquee game before you have the bye week.
By 3 weeks by sitting him.
Yeah. With having the bye week, I think you should do right by the player. We know the Chiefs have been developing Breshad Smith throughout the course of this season. We know the Bills struggle to tackle people with dynamic ability. So that'd be interesting to see. You know, I know that this might increase some of the trade speculation, but I don't know how much that was going to change even before the deadline at the running back position, because we know the Chiefs have been basically surveying the rest of the league for about a month now when it comes to the running back position. Yeah. So it's unfortunate because Pacheco, I thought, actually showed better vision. He actually showed a little bit more burst against the Commanders last night. But I don't think it's wise to really play him. He doesn't have to practice this week, really. You know, take all the precaution necessary. Sit him down for a couple weeks. You come back from the bye week, you get another chance to assess how he feels.
I am no doctor. I am going to look ahead just a little bit. I don't think Isaiah Pacheco is going to play in this game against the Buffalo Bills. You've got the bye week. You've been running the football effectively with Kareem Hunt. You've got Breshad Smith. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is sitting right there on the practice squad. You can elevate him. I don't think you put Isaiah Pacheco on the injury list. I think you just simply don't play him this week. So he's on the inactive list. You've got the bye week, and then you see where you're at in 3 weeks when they go on the road to play the Denver Broncos. That's how I think this thing will be handled. We'll see how things play itself out this week. I want to play for you guys an actual doctor. This is Dr. Jesse Morris. We've had him on the show before. Here he is with the medical explanation of what's going on with Isaiah Pacheco.
Medial collateral ligament is responsible for protecting the medial or inside part of the knee. It also attaches to the meniscus right here. It also helps to protect the ACL. So oftentimes when guys get tackled on the outside of the knee, this is the thing that gets beat up because of where it's located. Now, this is traditionally if he got super lucky, he can play next week against the Bills. Huge game in Buffalo. If he didn't get lucky, he could miss one, two, potentially two games if this is a grade one or mild sprain. If this is a grade two, a partial tear, usually these guys aren't bouncing up like he did, and usually they would have had a lot more instability and a lot more pain that would have held them out for four, sometimes up to 6 weeks. So this is likely either a grade one or a mild grade one, basically a tweak, and he got lucky. We'll have to see over the next couple of days where they're at with him. Maybe they get an MRI if there's any meniscus involvement or whatnot, but it sounds like his ACL was spared. His MCL could be a little bit in question, but we probably won't know until today or tomorrow exactly the specifics, but I'll give you more. Kareem Hunt got two different touchdowns. Besides that, you know, Breshad Smith did a little bit of running, but no receptions last night. So we'll have to see how it looks heading into a huge game in week 9.
I know it's unfortunate that Isaiah Pacheco got injured. I think you have to count your blessings that he is not out for what would appear to be a significant amount of time. He could have tore something. He could have broken something down there. I mean, that's what happened last year. He broke his leg, and I think we saw how long it took Isaiah Pacheco to kind of regain a little bit of that confidence. I agree with what Nate said. I thought that was the best version of Isaiah Pacheco that we've actually seen in quite some time. He's been trending in the positive direction the last couple of weeks. So
It's unfortunate that this happened. Certainly unfortunate heading into one of your most important games of the season. But if you're telling me that this is potentially a 2 to 3 week injury and it's wrapped around the bye week, this is certainly not the worst thing that could possibly happen to Kansas City. If anything, it gives the Chiefs a little bit more room and opportunity to see what Breshard Smith can do and how he can help them in the offense. I do want to point this out with the Kansas City Chiefs, and this is something that maybe I am the only one that feels this way, and I'm cool with that. I'm so happy to see the Chiefs being so much more aggressive on fourth down than they were in the past. Rob, I'm thinking about the early portion of the game and where the Chiefs have the ball at. I think the old Chiefs, I think they punt almost every single time in that scenario back in the day. So I don't know if it is Andy now playing the percentages when it comes to the analytics. I don't know if it is now the fact that you have Kareem Hunt, who is one of the better short yardage backs in the entire National Football League. But the Chiefs went for it on fourth and one on their side of the field in the first quarter. Andy is usually pretty conservative, normally plays these things very close to the vest. They ran a play, and this wasn't like a we're trying to get them offside. No, it was a we have a very good offensive line that we believe in. We also feel like we have one of the best short yardage backs in the National Football League. We feel very confident in our ability to pick up this 1 yard. Thank you. Finally, this is what people like me have been clamoring for the last 3-4 seasons. Trust your offensive line. Trust your run game. So I'm thrilled that they have it. I don't care the why. I really don't. Whether you think Andy, you can teach an old dog new tricks, whether you think they're only doing this because they got Kareem Hunt and he has turned into a near automatic when it comes to these scenarios, I don't care. I'm just happy. I'm thrilled. It gives you the best chance over the lifetime of playing football. Now, the Chiefs threw an interception on that drive, had nothing to do with them going for it, but they put themselves in a position to maximize their offensive possessions. I loved it. I love this new version of Andy Reid. I hope they continue it. I hope they keep it. I want to continue to see them going for it on fourth downs.
I, too, loved it. And me and you on this show, when it comes to going on arguing about fourth down, we disagree on it because I see it the way the analytics see it, which is you should be going for it more often than not. Andy Reid has historically been more conservative. I'm happy we're getting aggressive, Andy. I loved it last night. I saw a tweet, and it just crossed my timeline. I don't know who tweeted it, so I apologize if this was someone who listens, saying that Andy Reid finding fourth down religion has changed the NFL. I 100% agree. Here's my concern. Do you think he's doing it because he feels like he has the offensive line and the quarterback?
Care.
But my question about the methodology is, if it's because of Harrison Butker, and Harrison Butker gets hot, are we going to see him revert back to conservative, Andy? Is there going to be a time against the Colts where it's fourth and three and it's field goal or go for it time? And right now, Andy's go for it. Me and you love it. But Butker's made 7 in a row, so now we're back to Butker. Like, I think the methodology matters here because if it's going to be the consistent trend, Andy's aggressive, prepare for a parade. But if Andy's going to pivot back and forth based on vibes, I don't know. I like that answer. So I do think methodology is important here.
I think time, situation, and length of field goal has to play itself into it. The only reason why I say I don't care about that and I don't know the answer to your question is, I mean, they went from fourth and one in the first quarter from their own 41-yard line. You aren't kicking a field goal in that scenario. The option is punt or go for it. We've seen enough Andy Reid and the Chiefs to know that usually in that scenario, they would have trotted out Matt Araiza. So I'm happy that they're not trotting him out, that they're trotting out Kareem Hunt, that they're trotting out Patrick Mahomes, and we're simply going to go for it. Now, you mentioned the Indianapolis Colts. Well, I don't know the situation the next time they're at home. Is it fourth and three and your option is to kick a 52-yard field goal or roll the dice with your offense? That's a very, very different scenario. I don't know if that situation popped up yesterday. Almost every time that the Chiefs decided to go for it, I thought their best play and to maximize how many points they could score were simply going for it. So I just don't know if we can definitively answer if the Chiefs have lost confidence or faith in Harrison Butker, who has just not been a problem the last couple weeks. They haven't really needed to kick a significant field goal in the last couple of weeks either. I just don't know if we can see that until we see a scenario where I think there is a real decision to be made, whether it's go for it or kick a field goal. I'm happy that they are deciding when the options are go for it or punt, I'm happy that they're choosing go for it versus punting the ball.
And that's why I am hoping that because it was go for it or punt, this is a sign that Andy has turned a corner. and he has a newfound aggression. Maybe they hired an analytics person. I don't know it. Maybe he shook hands with Dan Campbell at midfield of the Lions game and absorbed some of that super aggression. I don't know what transpired. I love it. I just worry that it is not a consistent trend, and Andy's going to do it week in and week out by vibes. And this week was, oh, no punt, let's go for it. But and I use the Colts as an example going forward. There's a big game against the Broncos, and you know what? We feel better about our chances kicking here. I want him to pick a lane and stick in it. Right now, he's picked an aggression lane, and I love it. I want him to stay in that lane, which is why I think methodology is important.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's fair to say that you got to pick a lane because time, situations, vibe, everything just changes over the course.
Dan Campbell's picked a lane. Dan Campbell is always in. There's never been a time where I'm like, hey, I wonder what Dan Campbell. I know. We know going into every game what Dan Campbell's doing.
You're 100% right. But I think you could also argue that one of the reasons why the Lions didn't go to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago is because Dan Campbell is always choosing to roll the dice. You can't go broke taking a profit. So sometimes it's certainly time to be aggressive at the craps table. The craps table is hot. Sometimes you got to get you a little bit of money and get out of the situation. So I don't know if it's right to have the mentality of we're going for it all the time or we're never going for it. Let's feel it out. But right now, I like the fact that Andy is rolling with his offensive line and rolling with his running back in short yarded situations because from the math perspective, that's the best play. The best play for this team is not to me to be kicking 55-yard field goals. The best thing for this team to do is, if you got 4th and 6 inches, to turn around and hand it to Kareem Hunt, because right now we have seen, other than a quarterback sneak or a tush push, giving the ball to Kareem Hunt is the smartest thing that you can do on 4th and short, 4th and 1. So continue to ride it. Now, if that's not the case in December, then you got to about face and you got to do something different. But right now, the best thing for them to do is be aggressive with Kareem Hunt on 4th and short situations.
Here's why I think it is important to not play it by vibes, time, feel, situation. You mentioned the math of it. The math of it is always the math of it. The math doesn't take into account the feel, the situation, your punter, your kicker. So if Andy Reid is doing this on a purely numbers basis, I am elated because the math is the math. 4th and 1 with that guy in the backfield, yeah, it should be a go for it more times than not. You should be in his ear, green, go, go, go. A little part of me wonders, because can't teach an old dog new tricks type of energy, that Andy Reid's going to have in his ear, and it's going to be, Titans stink, and it's going to be green, go, go, go in his ear, because everything's saying mathematically it's go time, and he's going to say, time, feel, punter, all the vibes, I'm going to suss out every variable, and I'm going to just decide to not be aggressive here. I don't want him to be full Dan Campbell, but I would prefer if he looks more like Dan Campbell than suss it out situation by situation, because the math is the math.
Can I point something out to people? And I don't know if this will be a controversial decision. I have no clue. I don't know. But what I do know is that technology that they have for the 4th down, it is a waste of everybody's time. It's not any different than what we had before. I think when we all heard that they were going to put a chip in the football, and we're thinking, oh man, finally, they're using lasers and micro technology. We all got super excited about it. I mean, now that I've seen it, what makes it really any different than the system that we had before? Sure, the system was the old way of doing things, but sometimes the old way of doing things, it ain't really that bad. Let me give you the example. There is an app on your phone that can measure things. Rob, have you ever used this before? You're in a room. You can grab your phone, and you can start from one wall, and then you can go all the way to the other wall, and it will tell you approximately how far it is. Is that really any different than you got the measuring tape? You're a painter. You're a handyman. You're somebody that would use this. You pull out your tool. You then set it on the ground. Are you getting any different measurement than you were before? I don't know if the technology really improved things. It's just different, right? I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. Now, I think that Zach Ertz got the 1st down. Ultimately, it didn't matter, right? What does it matter? The Commanders weren't winning the game. But I think that Zach Ertz got the 1st down. I think if you were sitting there looking at it, I don't think the referees spotted the ball correctly. I think they should have spotted it where Zach Ertz got the 1st down. That's not what happened. They then put it, they spotted it, and then they did the little PS2 cutscene like it was Madden 97. And then I was like, this is the exact same thing that we had before. This is no different than what we had. I think what we are seeing, and this is my soapbox issue, and that's fine. What we are seeing is all of the technology in sports, it doesn't really change anything. It just gives us new things to complain about. That if this microchip in the ball, if it can't give us the ability to spot the ball correctly, and it's still based on the human and him visualizing it and where he thinks the ball should be, and then the chip then measures it, I don't really know if that's any different than the system that we had before. It's not like we thought the chains were inaccurate. The chain's 10 yards. It's always going to be 10 yards. When you stretch it out, it's 10 yards. So to me, we have just found a technological way to now argue about the exact same things. I was sitting there watching it, and I'm like, wait, where his knee down and where his arm is? I think that's a first down, but then they're telling me it's not a first down, and then they measure it, and they do this real dramatic zoom in. It's short, and I'm just like, no, why do we do all of this? I just don't think that the new technology way of measuring a first down, I don't really think it's anything different for before. I think that we heard computer and chip and got super excited about it because that was going to solve the spotting of the ball issue. And if the referees aren't going to spot the ball effectively, then the chip just doesn't really matter because the officials, they're going to miss these calls anyway.
Listen, it is the exact same. There's no difference. Pulling the chains versus waiting for Aero Vision to show us the, you know, simulation of how close it is the same energy. I will say this, can they speed that up a little bit? Like, can they make that a little bit faster for me? Because I was watching the game on television, I was not there. But it felt like they're like, we're going to go to the electronic measurement. Buck and Aikman start talking about some other stuff, and then you hear Buck again. Any minute now, we'll get the electronic measurement. Then some more time goes on, the camera shows Zach Ertz, it shows Dan Quinn. Then it eventually flashes to this, it seems like tennis instant replay that then shows 5 inches short and they go to commercial. Like, it is the exact same, but at least the chain gang felt like it was moving pretty quick. It felt like there was like a lull as we waited for the computer simulation to tell us he was short. That's the only thing I would say. Speed it up. Let's make it faster.
No, you know what? I'm happy that these things happen. I really am happy because we argue that this technology is going to make things faster all the time. That's what we're going to do next year in baseball. When the ump misses a call, the technology is going to make things super fast. And then we start this slippery slope of things. And then we know. So I hope you guys continue to get what you asked for. We wanted everything to be fair in overtime. I hope every NFL overtime ends in a tie. That's what I hope. I hope every single time we get a tie. We wanted microchips inside the football. Good. I hope it's like this every single time. This is not faster. It's not better. It's just different. That's all it is. It's just different. They have come up with a different way of incorrectly spotting the football. That's what I saw yesterday. Again, I'm not going to make it seem like this had some great impact on the game. I still think the Commanders lose the game. But I think that Zach Ertz got the first down. So then when they, all right, hey, let's see this thing in real time. I'm curious to see how it carries itself out. It ended up being the exact same problem that we had. I thought the officials were actually kind of bad yesterday. I thought the officials were bad, and I don't know who the rules expert is on ESPN. I'm perfectly fine if I don't hear from him again. I mean, no shade towards that man. I'm sure he's doing the best job that he can do. I'm sure he's doing a phenomenal job. I don't think we really needed the rules expert. I don't think he really helped us in any capacity yesterday. I think the refs were also out there on vibes too. And basically anything that was 50-50, they just kind of threw their hands up and like, I mean, why don't we just look at it? I thought they were bad. I really do. I thought the officials were subpar yesterday, which is kind of standard for the National Football League. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the greatest athlete since Tiger Woods. That's next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Drive. First to breaking news in Kansas City.
Have you ever followed an ex on Instagram or on social media? And she seems like she's happy in her relationship, so you're kind of leaving her alone. But then you notice that her Instagram posts, they're not the same. She's talking with a little bit of different energy. Now she's speaking in memes and using depressing song lyrics. So you reach out. Just, you're kind of curious, but you don't want to really pry that much. Hey, you know, how's it going? Everything going all right? And she's like, oh, well, you know, me and my boyfriend, we just broke up. And you start thinking, oh, okay. You start thinking that you got another shot. The reason I'm telling you this is, well, this just happened to the Kansas City Chiefs. They broke up with Mike Pinnell. But this is a player that we have been looking at for a long time. Hey, are you happy in Cincinnati? Is everything going all right? You know, because, I'm maybe willing to give things another try. Well, Mike Pinnell has just been released by the Cincinnati Bengals. Mike Pinnell is a free agent. The Chiefs are looking for a little bit of defensive line help. This seems like a no-brainer, right? I mean, if we were talking about them going out to go get Colin Saunders, who is currently under contract with another team and has not been released, Mike Pinnell, in some capacity, you'd have to think that he's coming back, right? Whether it's on the practice squad, whether you're immediately adding him to the 53-man roster, I just don't really know why they wouldn't add Mike Pinnell back. They have a need. A player that they know is available. This is what the Chiefs do. Remember when you guys were really mad about Issa Pohl? Remember that? During training camp, got released. Oh, Chiefs Twitter was hot. How could you do this? A talented left tackle. How could you do this? Well, he got released by the Jets. Chiefs instantly pounced on him. Hey, you know what? Hey, can we go out and grab drinks sometimes? That's always, Rob, how you try to rekindle things. Hey, you know, maybe we should go grab drinks sometime. Okay, all right, you know, whenever you're free. You got to go ask Mike Pinnell if he wants to go get coffee sometimes. That's how you got to do it. You got to try to rekindle that relationship. So I don't know 100% if Mike Pinnell's coming back, but Mike Pinnell coming back would be in line with quite literally everything the Chiefs stand for. Everything the Chiefs do is bringing back Mike Pinnell. They love to get that old thing back. They love to rekindle. They love to go back to the X. So I'm expecting Mike Pinnell to be on the team by this time Thursday at the latest.
What was the joke you made with Nate Taylor on Friday? The Chiefs only have the phone number of like 62 guys in the NFL.
They only know 75 players in the league.
I mean, Mike Pinnell is one of them because they've
cut. Really quick, I'm sorry to cut you off here, but twice. I think it's important to note, at least when it comes to Mike Pinnell, he's not subject to waivers. So You can't lose him. He's just there. Mike Pinnell's just right there. He's available. You don't got to trade for him. You don't have to hope that another contending team grabs him. You like Mike Pinnell. Mike Pinnell likes you. Why don't you two go on a date? So I'm expecting that Mike Pinnell's going to be on the team here by the end of the week. I would be floored if he's not on the team by the end of the week. Everything about it makes sense.
Mike Pinnell is on the CJ Spiller re-return plan.
100%.
They brought him in, then they cut him. Then they brought him back, then they cut him. And now we think they're going to bring him back again. Like, Mike Pinnell's left Kansas City as often as he's played in Kansas City, but it does just make too much sense. Like, we were wondering last week, why haven't the Chiefs made a move to bring in Colin Saunders? Go out there. Just go do it. Well, who needs Colin Saunders when you have old
Mike Pinnell? That's why. That's what they were doing. They were waiting on Mike Pinnell. It's also very, very important to note that you know that Pinnell is going to be received very, very well in the locker room. It was a couple of weeks ago that Chris Jones was asked about it. It's not every day that a player is asked about another player who's under contract with another team and then like, hey, we need him. Bring him back. He's available now. He's right there. So let's see if the Chiefs end up doing it. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Travis Kelce and the incredible accomplishment that he had yesterday in tying Priest Holmes for the most touchdowns in Kansas City Chiefs history. Can we just spend a little bit of time? I don't know if it's a little bit along. I'm just telling you that Shohei Ohtani, every sports talk host, show, blog, I don't care what your blog is about. You could be a wrestling blog. You should spend time today talking about Shohei Ohtani. He hit two home runs yesterday. He looked like Barry Bonds last night, to be completely honest with you. That's who he looked like. He hit a home run early. He hit a home run late. We were all waiting for him to get another chance in the bottom of the ninth inning. He came up. He got walked five times yesterday. His on-base percentage through the first three games of the World Series is almost 700. This is the most dominant we've seen an athlete since the Tiger Slam. What was that, 01, 02, the Tiger ended up pulling the Tiger Slam? This is the most dominant that we have seen a player since then. If you want to go Barry Bonds, sure. But I just mean where it is just so clear, so obvious that this player is so much better than everybody else that is doing the exact same job as him that it almost appears to be unfair at times. A player that makes you quite literally stop everything you are doing because you want to see that player, because you want to watch him, and you understand that you are watching something that you will never see again. We've seen a lot of baseball players in our time. We ain't never seen nothing like Barry Bonds. We've seen a lot of baseball players. We've never seen anything like Shohei Ohtani. He's like Barry Bonds with a mix of Max Scherzer. It's one of the most remarkable things that we have ever seen. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about the World Series yesterday. I kind of shifted my focus to the World Series after the Kelce touchdown. After the Kelce touchdown, I put the Chiefs on the small TV. I can't lie to you guys. At that point, I didn't need to hear the audio anymore. I really didn't. I put the World Series on the main TV. It was a close game, and it was a thrilling game. In fact, it actually worked out. Right when I switched over is when Shohei hit his second home run for the day. Shohei pitches tonight in game four of the World Series. I don't know what to say about Shohei. I would try to enjoy every single opportunity you get to watch him play, because he is quite honestly the best baseball player that we have ever seen. And they've been playing baseball for a very, very long time.
One of the staples of sports talk, one of the pillars, is arguments about the greatest of all time. This is what you see on the national shows all the time. LeBron and Jordan bring us this. Mahomes and Brady is now bringing us this. Shohei Ohtani has robbed us of that in baseball because he's already that guy. Like, he was on base nine times last night. He was on base, I repeat that, nine times with two doubles and two homers, and he's going to start the game tonight as a pitcher. And knowing Shohei, hey, the Dodgers need a good outing. They need someone to protect their bullpen because they got kind of ate up last night over 18 innings. He'll probably go seven and look like, I don't know, give up two hits, one run, and just be absolutely astonishing. Like, it's crazy to me how good Ohtani is. And I don't think the Blue Jays are going to win the World Series. I think it's kind of over now. But if for some reason the Blue Jays win, I don't care. He should win MVP no matter what. Remember that year that LeBron took on the Warriors and everyone's like, oh, LeBron should win MVP despite the Warriors winning? If the Blue Jays come back and do this, I don't care about how the Blue Jays did it. Shohei Ohtani is the most valuable and best player on the field. He's a freak of nature. Like, I grew up thinking, oh, we'll never see another player like Bonds. Yeah, we got him, and he pitches now, too. There's not enough words in the dictionary to applaud how good of a baseball player he is.
No, I'm 100% with you. I don't have anything to add for Shohei. He is just, he's must-see television. I mean, I was excited in the ninth inning because we all knew he was going to try to steal a base, you know? It was pretty obvious that he's going to try. I think he beat the throw. He just didn't get up correctly on the slide, and he was out. But just even watching him run the base pass was just super entertaining, super fun to watch. I know it's not local baseball, so I understand that some people, they only watch the Royals. I would tell you to make a little bit of time today to watch the World Series. When you get a chance to see someone start, and then he's also going to turn around and be the DH, I would encourage you to do that. I'm telling you, he is absolutely phenomenal to watch. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Travis Kelce. Congratulations, he has scored tied the most touchdowns ever in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. That's all coming up. Keep it right here, so drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.